Welcome to Backseat Box Office, episode number 191, for the weekend of May 23rd through May 25th. Happy Memorial Day, everybody, and to all those who have served our country and are currently serving our country, thank you. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And you are listening to Backseat Box Office, and I just forgot that we are the Backseat Producers. So we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. And this is the part of the show where we try to get a little bannery, but I'm going to cede the floor to Art because he has something that he'd like to talk about.
Yeah, me and Jeff talked a little about this last week. I've got some very close friends who are going through a bit of an ordeal. Anybody who follows me may have saw it posted on my Facebook page. But they have a daughter, 16 months old. They actually live with us for almost a year. And they're Mike and Cece. And their little daughter is Lily. She has some type of cancer. It is taking up 90% of her abdomen, and they're not even sure what it is. She's been in the hospital for the past week, and they have started a Give Forward campaign to try and help offset some of these costs that they're going to be incurring here, which are long hospital stay. The doctors are currently talking chemotherapy to try and reduce the size of the tumor to make it operable, because at this point it's not even operable. I know this is a big, big downer, but I was encouraged by Tony Mass to talk about it on the show, put a link in the show notes, and just to try and continue to spread the word about what's going on. I'll also put a link to, Brittany has a little YouTube channel that she started and having a lot of fun with, and she does a little video talking about some of this stuff as well. And yeah, we'll move on from that very heavy note and, get into the show here, but just wanted to kick off with that and just try and bring a little more awareness in any way that I can. So, Jeff, let's, take this up a notch and move in a better direction. Tell us how the box office did and how your picks went.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about last weekend's box office. At number one, we had Godzilla, which made $93.2 million. At number two, we had Neighbors, that came in with $25.1 million. At number three, we had The Amazing Spider-Man 2, that came in at $16.8 million. At number four, Million Dollar Arm came in with a gross of $10.5 million. At number five, The Other Woman came in with a gross of $6.3 million. And at number six, we had Heaven is for Real that came in at $14.4 million. And that covers all the movies that all the participants picked. So now we can move to how everybody did. Art?
So, how everybody did. Well, Jeff just told you his picks. And we will go listen to a voicemail from Nick that's going to tell you the exact same thing.
Hi, this is Nick. Number one, I'm going with Godzilla. Two, Neighbors. Three, Spider-Man. Four, Million Dollar Arm. Five, The Other Woman. Thank you.
Thanks for the voicemail, Nick. I can't wait to tell him how well he did when I see him at work tomorrow. I may even punch him in the arm when I do it.
Oh, okay.
Next up, we have a voicemail from Tad. Let's go to Tad's voicemail.
Hey, Tad calling in with my picks for the week. First, that last episode, Jeff's audio was something that was a little weird, but I don't know if it was tinny is the right word for it, but it was maybe even almost kind of echoey. So I don't know if that was just my end or if there was something going on there, but, anyway, just wanted to say that in case there was a problem, you guys could figure it out. All right. So Art, you put Neighbors before Godzilla. I'm not so sure. I don't agree with that. Let me just put it that way. All right. So I'm gonna go ahead with my picks. I'm gonna go with Godzilla at number one, Neighbors at number two, Spider-Man at number three, Million Dollar Arm at number. You know what? I'm gonna put Million Dollar Arm at number three, Spider-Man at number four, and the Other Woman at number five. So those are my picks. And I'll try to get, if I see a movie this week, I'll call in with a review or a report on it. I'm not sure I'm going to do that or not. But anyway, guys, thanks for the show, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Thanks, Tad. All right, he had Godzilla at number one. He had Neighbors at number two. He put Million Dollar Arm at number three, costing no point, Spider-Man 2 at number four, costing no point, and the Other Woman in the right spot for a total of 23 points. And then we come to Sad, Sad Art, who knew better and did it anyway. So I flip-flopped Neighbors and Godzilla, costing myself 3 points. I had Amazing Spider-Man 2 in the right spot and Million Dollar Arm in the right spot, and then Heaven is for Real in number five, costing me another point for a total of 21. That is all the picks we had.
All right. And I wanted to address something that Tad said in his voicemail. One of the programs that we use in recording the show has come out with a new version. And I'm not entirely sure if it's something with my setup or the new program, but I acknowledge that I am sounding a little more echoey. So we're going to try to work through this, and hopefully it doesn't make the podcast less listenable. All right, so let's talk about how the Arts House did last week. Art and myself both picked The Immigrant, which came in at 14,688 per screen, and Father Beast chose The Chinese Puzzle, which came in at 11,772 per screen. So now, if my basic arithmetic is right, I have 4 points, Art has 3 points, and Father Beast has one. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. So that ends the Arts House, and now we can talk about how
Nick
bettered his situation for the
$25
Amazon gift card contest. Since he was the only listener that had a 25, he gets one entry into the hat. And so now, by my math, I believe Kugron has 5 entries, Nick has 2, and BD has 1.
So I
don't know if that matches up.
Yeah, I have to re-listen to the show because I think you said he had 5, too.
Okay, all right.
But we also don't have the points. We skipped the leaderboard.
Yeah, we can come back to that.
Okay.
So, that's enough about the Arts House, and now Art's going to tell us about the leaderboard.
All right, and so, the leaderboard. We have Jeff reigning as king in the number one spot with 22.6. Kugaron right behind him with 22.5. BD in the third spot with 22 points. Nick in the fourth spot with 21 points. Me falling terribly behind into the fifth spot with 20.1 points. Tad in sixth with 19.2. And Scuba Dave in seventh with 19 points. And that is where the leaderboard is standing.
All right. So now we can stop talking about last week, and we can talk about what's coming up this week.
Yes, we can.
So, we have 2 movies coming out wide release. Why don't you tell us about one of them, Art?
I will tell you about X-Men Days of Future Past. 94% fresh on the tomato meter. 50 reviews counted. 47 fresh. 3 rotten. 99% out of 156,000 people want to see this movie.
Wow.
Pretty sure this is going to be number one.
Pretty sure.
The Ultimate X-Men Ensemble fights a war for the survival of the species across 2 time periods in X-Men Days of Future Past. The beloved characters from the original X-Men film trilogy join forces with their younger selves from the past, X-Men First Class, in order to change a major historical event and fight in an epic battle that could save our future. Rated PG-13, 2 hours and 11 minutes, directed by Bryan Singer and Matthew Vaughn. Written by John Byrne, Simon Kinberg, Matthew Vaughn, Jane Goldman. James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Jennifer Lawrence, Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, Hugh Jackman, Peter Dinklage. And the list goes on and on. Anna Paquin, Halle Berry, Ellen Page. Anybody else catch your eye?
Hey, I see Chris Claremont as Congressman.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And I see that Mark Camacho will be playing President Nixon. So
that's everybody who catches my eye. That's funny. Chris Claremont, I first learned about him actually when he spun off and did a novel series that started with, I believe it was called First Flight. First Flight grounded in something else. But neither here nor there. It'll be interesting to see him.
Yeah,
Tony wants to see this. He already called me today. He's like, what are we doing this weekend? Are we going to see X-Men? Are we going to see X-Men? I'm like, I don't know. Especially not after you told me last week about the box office earnings and all that. I'm like, maybe at least a week.
Yeah, I am positively encouraged about the amount of positive reviews that this movie's getting. Because it seems like it's all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, time travel, and they're throwing, like, every mutant they can into a movie.
Yeah, well, it's a big story.
True, true.
So, yeah, I'm very excited. I think I'll go see it next weekend.
Yeah, I think Memorial Day weekend might be a bit much for us. We'll probably wait. So, let's go from the high end down to the low end. The next movie that comes out in wide release is another Adam Sandler joint, Blended. And strangely enough, no score yet from the critics. One person has seen it, but they didn't like it. Out of the audience, 87% want to see it. That's out of 12,688 Rotten Tomatoes users. So let's talk about the description of the plot. After a disastrous blind date, single parents Lauren and Jim agree on only one thing. They never want to see each other again. But when they each sign up separately for a fabulous family vacation with their kids, they are all stuck sharing a suite at a luxurious African safari resort for a week in Blended, the third comedy collaboration between stars Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. PG-13, 1 hour and 57 minutes. Directed by Frank Carassi. Probably the same people that you're used to seeing in an Adam Sandler movie. They are dragging Community's Joel McHale in.
Saw that.
One of our favorite actresses from Meet the Goldbergs, Wendy McClendon Covey, is in this. Shaquille O'Neal. Looks like some of Adam's own family.
Terry Crews.
Terry Crews. So yeah, we'll probably watch this when it comes out on video.
Yeah.
So yeah. And since we have time to talk about the one critic review, here's the blurb. Trust in the audience is not a hallmark of the filmmakers. If it were, then maybe they could allow at least one semi-serious scene to play out without beating us over the head with a trademark silly Sandler gag. So it's not too bad. I don't think the fangs were out for that one, but yeah. Yeah. So, and those are the two movies coming out in wide release.
Yep.
So now we can get the picks.
Time for picks. You're up, Mr. 25.
Yes. Yes, Mr. 25. At number one, I'm going to go with X-Men Days of Future Past, showing that I am not crazy. At number two, I'm going to go with Godzilla. At number three, I don't know, word of mouth is still pretty good on Neighbors, but I'm going to put Blended number three, Neighbors number four, and Million Dollar Arm number five. And for my arts house pick, I'm going to go with, I hope this is how you pronounce it, but Lila.
Okay.
All I know is that Daniel Brühl is in it, and he was what I thought was a breakout performance in Rush, so I'm going to see if he can keep that magic going.
Okay, sounds good.
So Lila, and Art, it is your turn, sir.
Okay, I am also not crazy. I am going with the X-Men Days of Future Past in the number one spot. I'm also going with Godzilla in the number two spot. I'm going with Blended in the number three spot and Neighbors in the number four spot. Obviously, I have something different in my fifth spot, or else I would have just started with a ditto. So I'm going to put The Amazing Spider-Man in the fifth spot. I'm sure it's going to bite me in the butt, but whatever, it's what I wrote down. And for my arts house, I'm going with Cold in July. Michael C. Hall, Don Johnson, Sam Shepard, kind of a noir revenge tale. I think it's IFC. It's in six theaters. It's getting good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, so that's why I'm putting it there. And those are my picks.
All right, so now that we're through picks, I think that is the end of the official show. So now we can talk about what we watched last week.
Yes.
Art, did you watch anything last week?
I watched another couple episodes of Almost Human. I watched Elementary. I'm all caught up on Elementary, which I'm really, really enjoying. And that was all I watched. I did not have time to finish watching Premium Rush. It is still staring at me from my DVR. We had time to watch it, and Brittany was like, meh. And I'm like, okay, well, then I'm going to watch this without you the next chance I get. So I may be, after we finish recording here, going and watching that without her, since Aubrey's asleep and she's spending the night with Cece. At the hospital, so.
All right.
And I'm off tomorrow. I was just saying, and I'm off tomorrow, so.
Oh, good. I really didn't watch a whole lot last week, but I can start a new thing this week. I can tell you, I have half reviews. I have two half reviews because I watched the first half of two movies.
Okay.
The first half of This Is the End, I'm enjoying it. Very much so, but I think it's starting to, you know, lose steam.
Right.
Did you see This Is the End?
I saw bits and pieces of it. I really didn't feel like it was a movie for me. It really didn't grab me. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have guessed that it was your kind of movie. I think it's going to fall apart for you. But
really?
Okay. I don't want to tell you what you should and shouldn't like. I would be surprised if you thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I kind of look at this movie as I look at Hot Tub Time Machine.
Okay.
And I really love Hot Tub Time Machine, even though it was more of an 80s feel.
Right.
The end. I think they're going a little too far for me with the masturbation jokes.
Right. Like I said, it just didn't seem like your type of humor.
The other movie that I'm actually two-thirds of the way through is the brutalized the name. Let me see if I can find the Netflix thing so I know how to say it. And here's another thing I will be cutting out. Okay, I think it's the best exotic Marigold Hotel.
I almost guessed that.
Okay, all right. Great cast.
Yeah, that got really good reviews.
Great cast, and I'm into the second act where things are getting heavy. But I'm really enjoying it, and it's one of those things where there's an actor in this movie, and I've seen him in one thing. But I've watched it so much that he's, like, burned in my brain. And I haven't seen him in anything else. A&E did a two-part miniseries of Ivanhoe.
Okay.
Which was fantastic. And one of the actors, the guy who plays Norman in the movie, played the advisor to Prince John in Ivanhoe. And I remember him because, you know, spoiler, he takes an arrow through the throat. In Ivanhoe. And so, yeah, it's, but yeah, it's funny how that just, you know, those like little grenades go off in your head. So I'm enjoying it, and I'll report on how it ended in probably what would be the worst way to review a movie, is just tell you about the first half. So, other than that, that's all I really have watched.
Okay. Have you still not finished Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, you know what? I have finished Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I actually watched it after we ended recording last week.
Okay. I was like, because I'm still waiting on that report.
Okay, all right. So, we have found a vein, as they say. All right.
Yes.
So, for those that have not seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., maybe, I don't know, fast forward for about 2 or 3 minutes?
Yeah, it sounds all right.
I don't know.
Five tops.
I don't know how long this is going to take. So, what did you think about the finale?
I really enjoyed it, which is what I said. You know, I felt like they tied up a lot of loose ends. They didn't, you know, do a big cliffhanger ending, which would have really pissed me off because I wanted resolution, and I felt like I got a lot of resolution. There were still things, little threads that had been woven throughout the series, that those were like, they kind of dropped some things where they're going to pick those up next season, but a lot of the big story arcs kind of wrapped up, you know, and I really appreciated that. What did you think?
I thought it was great. I wish they hadn't messed with Fitz, though.
Okay. I mean,
because, you know, apparently, you know, it being, you know, a Marvel property, I'm sure, I don't know how much he's going to be affected, but they said something about brain damage because he was under for so long.
Right. They said there's a possibility. They're not sure. He's still unconscious. That doesn't mean anything. It just means they're still worried about him, you know. And
right. And by extension, I'm worried too.
Right.
But I had huge Buffy deja vu with this finale.
Okay.
Just because some of the one-liners, I can almost tell Joss wrote the finale.
Right.
Almost. The line that May says to Ward about, you know, you were never on top.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And then the Garrett, who we thought was dead, was on the machine, and he's getting all bionic parts.
Right.
And Coulson just, you know.
Yeah, obliterates him.
Yeah. That's a very trope killing.
Yeah, but you know, it was something. It was like, you know, you're like, okay, he's, you know, he's continuing on, you know, this, he's gonna get away, blah 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 blah. You know, I would have been okay with that, you know, because that's what happens in comic books and with superheroes and villains, you know. And yet, I was also totally okay with them just utterly destroying him,
mm-hmm.
And you know. Coulson just being like, yeah, I've had enough of this. This guy is gone, and I'm not dealing with this anymore.
The other great part of this is I wish that Samuel Jackson was in it more.
Okay.
I mean, because it was good writing last week, but he just had great scenes with Coulson going, what you did was stupid, 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 stupid.
Yeah. Or the scene where they're talking about...
Did you mishear my speech?
Yeah, exactly.
You joined Hydra because you misheard my speech?
Right. He's like, you got it, didn't you? He's like, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, no, it was great.
I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait for next season.
No, me too. Me too. I can't wait for Agent Carter.
Yeah, I can't. I feel like there's a lot of good things happening right now. I can't wait to see what they do with the four Netflix shows. I can't wait to see. I've been hearing a lot of buzz about Gotham, mm-hmm. And there was another one that I'm forgetting about. Are they doing? Oh, there's a Flash one coming.
Yes.
That sounds interesting. I haven't seen anything on, but that's supposed to be coming soon. So yeah, a lot of good stuff happening right now.
Yes, very, very true. Very true. So, we just finished telling you about what we watched. Now we can transition over to news.
Yes, I do not have a lot in the way of news.
Okay, well, let me go first. I think this is probably the longest episode that we've gone through and not talk about Star Wars, so here is a token Star Wars news article. J.J. Abrams, he's a nice guy, or he wants to think you're a nice guy, so he is offering you a chance to have a cameo in the movie of the movie Star Wars Episode 7. So how do you get a chance at being in the movie? Well, I think if you donate $10 to UNICEF, to the Star Wars Force for Change initiative, you will have a chance to be, or you and another person, to be flown to London. You'll get a chance to meet the cast and get a behind-the-scenes look at the making of the film. The winner will also be put in hair and makeup to become a Star Wars character and be in the movie. So I cannot believe that you will have a better chance at this than winning the lottery. But you, if you want to be, try to be in the movie, it's going to cost you $10 and an insane amount of luck.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting. Okay. I will kick off with this one. Blade Runner 2 officially looking to bring back Harrison Ford. One of my favorite movies of all time. I love the noir feel of it, the setting that was created, I like Ridley Scott as a director, and I have no idea if this has any chance of actually happening, if Harrison Ford even considered doing it. I think the better chance of getting Ridley Scott and just rebooting it, but I don't even know if he's interested in that. But just the fact that somebody's talking about this has me interested.
All right. Next, let's move from Star Wars over back to Marvel and talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. Vin Diesel says Guardians of the Galaxy helped him heal after Paul Walker's death. So basically what happened is he started working on scenes as Groot, and I guess that Groot helped him heal and get back to business. Even though he only has one line, "I am Groot," the director, James Gunn, basically made him run through it 1,000 times because he wants to convey different emotions depending on how he says, "I am Groot."
Oh, my goodness.
Kind of like us Californians with "dude." It's kind of like, "dude, dude."
Dude.
Yeah. Pretty
awkward. Yeah.
Yeah, so you get that.
I do understand.
And he says that Chris Pratt is hysterical, and he is the class clown on set.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. He said he didn't really know much about the Avengers or Guardians of the Galaxy before he signed on, but he's done the research, so he's really excited about how the movie's going to come out. So there's that. There's a little blurb about Guardians of the Galaxy. And one bad host point for me, because the second trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy came out on Monday, and I haven't watched it yet.
I have not watched it either. I was going to ask you, have you seen it? So I know what we were both doing as soon as the show is over.
And also the teaser trailer for Big Hero 6 should come out tomorrow, from what I understand. If you've listened to previous shows, Big Hero 6 is the Disney/Pixar movie. So it's going to be the first completely animated Marvel feature release. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, but anyways, keep an eye out for that. That's supposed to come out in November, so the Disney machine keeps on cranking. All right, so Art.
Okay, I've got a big hitter here. I mean, this is some serious news dropping right here. Molly Ringwald joins Gem and the Holograms. I just wish Lena was here to see if she would squee about it.
Refresh my memory on the name of that movie.
Gem and the Holograms was a cartoon from the 80s about a girl who... She was a fashion designer / rock star.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm starting to remember now.
Yeah, it was terrible, absolutely terrible. And they're making a movie out of this, and I can't wait to see it. And Molly Ringwald. I mean, come on. Who didn't have a crush at Molly Ringwald at some point in their life?
I might reluctantly agree to that.
Somewhere along the line, there had to be a point. Okay, what do you got?
All right, this is going to be my last news story.
Okay.
And this is more of a... This is a box office prediction story. Okay, so there's this guy, Doug Krutz, who works for Cowan and Company. I guess he's a Hollywood analyst, and I guess he does pretty good at predicting which of the summer movies will do the best at the box office. Last year, he came out and said that there's too many tentpole movies that are going to be out during last summer.
Okay.
And I guess he correctly called the flops of The Lone Ranger, After Earth, White House Down, and RIPD. He was wrong about one. He did say World War Z was going to flop. But he did predict that Iron Man 3 would dominate, and it did, and that The Great Gatsby would surprise. So, he has a list out for this summer. And so... The number one movie, according to him, is going to be Transformers.
Really?
He has Transformers doing $350 million.
Okay.
He has Spider-Man at number two, going over $300 million. And he also, he has X-Men and then How to Train Your Dragon at $250 million apiece. And next, we're going to have Godzilla, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes at $200 million. And then three movies that are going to do $150 million, a million Ways to Die in the West, Edge of Tomorrow, and 22 Jump Street. And next we have the Angelina Jolie movie. Can you pronounce that for me?
No. Oh, Maleficent.
Maleficent, okay. All right. What are said? And then Blended at 110, and then Jersey Boys at 110. And the big... I just zoned on the name. I guess Jupiter Ascending?
Jupiter Ascending, yeah.
He said is going to do terrible.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
So
Channing Tatum, Mila Kunis, the retelling of which one? Cinderella, Snow White? I forget which one.
Something like that. You know,
yeah.
It almost could look like a bad redux of Fifth Element.
Yeah, I could see those elements there. Mm-hmm. Jupiter Ascending, big flop.
So,
yeah, send me that link. I want to look this over a little more and write it down and take some notes and see how it pops out on the end.
All right, sir.
These are interesting predictions. I don't know that I'm buying any of them.
All right. What do you have left for news?
That's all I've got. We can wrap it up there.
Okay, so this is us wrapping up the show. Thank you for listening to Backseat Box Office. Art, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Go watch a movie. Come tell us about it. Share with us in one way or another. And go check out that link that's going to be in the show notes. And even if you just share it along yourself so that other people can see it, that's plenty.
Yes, anything you can do, whether you share it to everybody you know or family or whatever you can donate to help them in this difficult time. I know it'd be appreciated by Art, but everyone here at Backseat Box Office and Backseat Producers. So thank you in advance. And other than that, Mr. Echo and or me, Jeff, we'll catch you next time.
Yes.
Thank you.